Right.
It's August 13th, 2012, and you're listening to episode 98 of the Nature Beard Beardcast, an episode described as by Matt Pierce as...
What?
Matt Pierce.
I forgot what I said already.
You said it was the episode. There's one
more
episode
until there's one more episode.
One more episode until one more episode. And then the episode Imran Khan also describes as...
Penultimate squared?
The penultimate episode. We're two away. We're one away from... What are we? Are we one away from 100 or are we two? Like, is it the second one that counts?
We're two away from 100. We're one away from 100.
Fuck. Well, anyways, it's episode 98, and I'm Brian Belita. We've got Mark Bradshaw.
Hey, guys, what's up?
We've got Matt Pierce.
Yo, just eating some K-bops here.
Some what?
K-bops.
K-pop?
A box of K-bops.
You eating Korean pop music?
Gangnam Style.
Oppa Gangnam Style. That's right. And Imran Khan.
I'm the penultimate Imran.
He is the only penultimate Imran Khan. No, isn't there a cricket Imran
Khan?
But
he preceded me.
And we've also gotten searches for Imran Khan Gams. Imran Khan gets his very own smartphone app based on... It's loading. It's loading really slow, man. I guess it's the Telegraph. Well, anyways. Imran Khan's song, Bawafa Online Games. Okay. Let's play that.
Makes sense.
Let's not play that. So there's some news. There's some stuff going on right now. I guess companies have been bought. Games have been played. Things look like Portal things. Can we talk about that first? Because I think that's hilarious.
That's some pretty hard-hitting journalism.
That's, man. Yeah. So it was... This was what? The Olympics? I saw you tweeted about it, Imran.
Yeah, Kotaku ran a story that was... that a speaker and two lights at the Olympics looked a lot like GLaDOS, which, okay.
Well, he originally thought it was a camera.
Yes, despite it clearly being a speaker and two lights. And the thing that bothers me the most about this is not that he made the story, but that it looks nothing like GLaDOS.
Not only that, it doesn't look like anything special. That is what every stadium... concert speaker array looks like everywhere in the world, and then they put the lights on the bottom so they can put spotlights on the stage.
But it's the Olympics.
So what this had happened was that not only did the Kotaku guy have to never seen this structure before in the entire
life.
So
that means he's never been to a large concert ever.
He's never been to a concert. He's never been to like a football game. He's never been possibly outside. Also, the person who took the picture had to fall into the same issue, because the person took the picture and said, "Oh my God, it's GLaDOS!" without thinking, like, "Oh wait, it's speakers, and you don't even look at it."
Yeah.
The person who took the picture doesn't get anything from sending that tip, so they had to genuinely believe this was something cool.
Right.
It's possible there was a lot of pot involved. I understand it is the Olympics and London, and it's possible that the person who put this in was high and or drunk.
Let's start finding things that super vaguely resemble things related to video games, and then take shitty phones on our, or take shitty photos on our smartphones and send them to Kotaku as tips.
This fire hydrant looks a lot like the pipe from Mario, don't you think?
Oh man, it's so
close. Oh my God, it's totally the pipe from Mario. I bet the designers, that was a homage to Mario when they built that pipe. So what I could do, I could go out into Manhattan and start taking pictures and say, oh my God, these buildings look exactly like all the buildings in those Spider-Man games.
Man, that's... They really knocked that one out. That was just a huge homage.
Look at these assholes who basically copied Prototype.
Look at
when
this,
they built the city.
Look at this frog that looks a lot like that frog in the Crysis 3 demo. It's... Oh, man! They genetically bred a frog to resemble... They really love Crytek.
Here's a picture of some boobs, and in boobs you can find boobs in games.
Dead or alive.
Yep.
You can't find those boobs in real life.
Speaking of
it requires engineering, but you can find those.
Or zero gravity.
Well, you can find them, but when you do see them, it looks grotesque. I know this because my wife watches
some of the Real Housewives and spin-off shows.
Ugh.
And there's this one called Big Ange. And, oh my god, that woman is terrifying to look at. But, yeah, that's the only place you actually see that physique outside of video games.
She's had some work done, you're saying?
She's had all the worst work done.
There is that one, not that I know anything about this, but there's this one fetish where like people are wearing the latex heads that look like anime characters, and they go out and like pose in that. I suppose if you actually saw that like in the street or something, not even like cosplay, because you know you see cosplay, you say, oh, that's a human being dressed up as Nathan Drake or whatever. This is a human being that has like a huge anime head on their where their head's supposed to be. So I guess that could be a DOA kind of thing.
How does Nathan Drake cosplay work? I'm just going to put on this shirt and jeans. Nathan
yeah,
Drake.
Yeah, it's really easy. Yeah. I imagine like 80% of the male population is cosplaying Nathan Drake at any given moment.
The sad part is you do the half tuck, you do the coat, or the overcoat, and people do recognize it. Way more than they should.
See, I've been afraid that there was going to be like a, I guess, surge of bomber jackets now that Dark Knight Rises came out, but I guess probably the Aurora thing cut that off at the head, but that was genuinely afraid we're going to start seeing all those jackets everywhere.
What, the sleeveless bomber jackets?
Not the sleeveless ones, like the big, what do you call them, the fluffy collars?
The kind of Bane wears.
Yeah, the kind of Bane wears and the kind Leon Kennedy wore.
It's like a pilot's jacket, I want to say.
It's a tactical jacket, I want to say?
No,
it's a bomber jacket. It's
a bomber.
The fur is there. High altitude flying.
Bomber right. Jacket.
Thrilling podcasting here as we all go search.
We're looking for leather bomber jackets.
No, you're right. I thought you were talking about his stupid vest that he wore. But yeah, that's totally a bomber jacket. You know, bomber jackets, you can do that. Just like, well, now in America, you can't because, you know, it never gets below 90 degrees in the summer. Like, it gets to 140.
If you lived in, like, Europe, you'd probably be fine.
But, you know, there's like... It's not even a bomber jacket. It's like a bomber trench. He's like a... It's like a pea coat. Because a bomber jacket, like is just a jacket. Like, ends at the waist. Like, Bane's in somewhere below his knees.
So it's like sheepskin bomber coat.
It's a long bomber jacket.
Trench jacket? Is that a thing?
Yes.
It's a thing now.
Yes.
It's now a thing. It's officially a thing.
Let's it could also game. Be
that... Who plays Bane in that movie again?
Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he's short. So it could be a normal-sized jacket.
He's short, but he's built.
They did reverse Hobbit filming.
That guy is like... Have you seen the pictures of him like between Inception and Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
He increased in size like fivefold. Like, if that were a mutant power, Tom Hardy would be hunted down immediately.
Oh, man. No. So Matt just sent us an article on Esquire about it's just a photo of Bane in his jacket next to some male model on a runway in
some
a similar
bag.
Jacket.
Yeah, they identified the designer that jacket comes from and realize that it's just a lot dirtier in the movie.
Yeah, it's super
Bane's
dirty.
Looks like he pulled it off a dead guy.
He probably did. I mean, maybe that's the implication that he pulled it off of one of the
of this
rich
dead
people
male
they
model.
Threw out into the street.
See, now I picture just Bane like walking around, be like, this is a nice jacket, and just taking it off really awkwardly.
Yeah, he's
Terminator. Right. Give me your joke. All right.
We should probably stop talking about that before we slip into spoilers too much.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. The Batmobile dies. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
So, Gearbox, Borderlands 2, girlfriend mode. Well, quote unquote girlfriend mode.
I've used that term before, and everyone knows what it means.
Yes.
I've never seen anyone offended
and it
by
was...
it.
Well, no, I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I remember. Super Mario Galaxy?
Yeah.
Wasn't that kind of the first game that term was thrown around with, maybe?
Yeah. I forget who coined it, but it's popularized because of that.
Is it, like, official wording inside the game? Because if it is, that might be
no,
the
issue.
I don't think
no.
so. I forget how, what happened, although I saw people get mad at Randy Pitchford on Twitter.
In fairness, Randy Pitchford says stupid things a lot. But, I mean, this is one of those things that I can see how somebody would be pissed, but you have to really kind of stretch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, so what the deal is, there's a class called the Necromancer, which you get for pre-ordering. There's a mode that you can set it? Is that what it is? Or is it just always with the Necromancer?
I have no idea. Like, I read the context, and I don't understand what Randy Pitchford is talking about ever, and especially not in this case.
I guess there's stuff like bullets have a chance to ricochet and hit their target anyways, even if you miss.
Sure.
Okay, well, anyways. Right.
Borderlands 2 is hitting journalism.
I apparently have that game pre-ordered.
Congrats. I should have done that on the weekend that Steam was having it at a discount, and now it's just a regular $60 game.
Green Man
so.
Gaming had it for like $36, which is when I
got it. That's pretty crazy.
That's about the right price for that.
$60 PC games. Like, I've been looking at, I think Sleeping Dogs is actually the right justifiable $50.
Oh, man. There's a really good fighting short film that some guys did. I don't know if it was officially for Sleeping Dogs, but I'll have to make sure they put it in the show notes because it's got some rad action and fight scenes. And that game looks pretty neat.
That comes out in a couple of hours.
Soon? Oh, soon.
I think it and Darksiders 2 come out tomorrow.
That's right.
Not hearing good things about Darksiders 2.
Got a loot system.
Apparently the console port is shit, but the PC version is okay.
That's
just kind of backwards.
Well, I mean, it's kind of backwards from Darksiders 1. It does kind of show how old these consoles are getting, that they're trying to make a game, but they can't make the game they want to.
Right.
Which leaves me wondering about the next year of games.
They're going to be pretty horrible.
Yeah, apparently Bioshock Infinite is having developing troubles. A couple of the main leads left. Kotaku's claiming that a bunch of modes got cut. They can't do the game they wanted to do.
Which might be a good thing, because they're cutting out multiplayer in a game that didn't need multiplayer, so maybe this will lead to good things. I'm trying to be positive.
Then they're going to cut something out for Day 1 DLC to make it their Project $10. Because that's what they did with Batman. They couldn't force multiplayer into it, so they sucked that Catwoman thing as the pre-order thing. Or the day one thing.
Right. That completely superfluous Catwoman thing. That completely screws you over, because you have to have Catwoman in there to get all the Riddler trophies. And that game doesn't work right unless you have the mindset where you're going to get all the Riddler trophies. So, thanks for that.
You know, I thought about this when I actually played Arkham City. Does anyone care if I spoil a bit of it here?
I have played it, so I do not.
All right.
I don't care.
There's a point where you have to...
Anything that discourages people from playing Arkham City.
Well, something it discourages people, it seemed weird to me that there's a point where Catwoman has to make a choice about whether to, take the money and run or save Batman. But for some reason, if you choose to save Batman, she just drops the money. Why did you need to do that? Why not just put it on a rooftop and come back and get it later?
You could leave it somewhere and come back for it, yeah.
It really doesn't need to be that big a sacrifice.
Well
it's the only thing she cares about, so they have to make it look like something important, even,
Right, it increases the impact of that emotional moment.
But if I have my car keys out and somebody calls me and tells me they need my help, I'm not going to, drop my car keys and run. I'm just going to put my car keys in my pocket.
I guess it would make more sense she put the money up somewhere and she goes back and some thug has already spent all the money.
That one guy who talks about Lost the entire time now has all the money.
Yeah. And he says something horrible because this is Arkham City and she's Catwoman. And if you're doing that, then the guy's going to say something horrible.
Always be saying horrible things.
They should have very much had a mode where the male thugs just sexually harass Batman the entire time.
You say horrible degrading things to him,
nice codpiece
toys, right? Exactly.
I heard Robin has trouble walking these days.
No. Dun, 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 dun.
So how's that ward of yours doing? Sick fuck
Alfred, something about Alfred. I got nothing. So Epic also Epic bought a company. They bought People Can Fly.
They did.
I don't know. Have they done anything since Bulletstorm?
They're making Gears of War Judgment. Which is probably why Epic bought them.
I do kind of find it funny that Joystick, when they reported this, just called them the Gears of War Judgment dev. And then, like, it was buried in the article that it was People Can Fly. Because I had no idea what the hell Gears of War Judgment was.
Yeah,
I had never heard of it.
What is Gears of War Judgment?
It is a Gears of War prequel, I think? Or side story?
It's a continuation
it's an actual Gears of War game?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the continuation of the trilogy without making a new game in the trilogy, because this console generation has gone on for too damn long.
Is this the one that was on the cover of Game Informer?
Yes.
Oh, see, I assumed that the one on the cover of Game Informer was going to be made by the same development team as the first two.
Oh, God, no. They're doing something important. Like, this is a cash-in.
They're doing probably whatever that Unreal Engine 4 demo was. Because those always turn into games. And in this case, it was like a medieval something-something demons and whatever.
I thought the Unreal Engine 4 showpiece is going to be some kind of a zombie game again, some kind of zombie apocalypse.
No, that's on Unreal Engine 4, but it's the Fortnite.
Yeah, that's the first. Yeah, that's the first announced game using Unreal Engine 4.
For sure, that Epic was making that. Stupid
they are. Thing. It's
Yeah.
What is it? It's PC exclusive. I know that much. I don't think they've said anything beyond that.
I guess it's been compared to Minecraft.
That was what everyone said initially, but I don't know if that's actually true. But I could easily see them making like an Unreal Engine 4 Minecraft and just completely missing the point of Minecraft.
Well, I think the reason they said that is that you have to defend your location against a zombie attack every night.
Yeah. I mean, whether or not you move, I know it's got some like you know, you just kind of aim at a place and you can put junk that you pick up. I don't know. I guess it's taken the sort of building and then things that attack at night and come out at night aspect of Minecraft, but otherwise it's probably going to be
it's going to miss the point. Well, the not exactly the point of Minecraft, or the thing everyone loves, is just building crazy
the
stuff.
Not point exactly.
Well, you know, I could see this being like, if it wasn't for the fact that it's a zombie game that's completely horribly outplayed and everybody's going to hate it because it's yet another damn zombie thing, and by then it'll be like 2014 or whatever, it could probably be a neat concept. You know, because you're sitting there, you're defending like your place of living against, you know, whatever, like boarding up. Like maybe it was like rabid dogs. Maybe like the world's dogs all of a sudden turn sentient and angry and rabid at once, and you're having to protect yourself against those guys. And there's just not enough guns in the world, and everybody's already used up all their bullets. There's just too many dogs. That could be a fun game. You don't have to worry about zombies, and you're trying to defend yourself.
Speaking of zombie games, apparently DayZ is becoming a standalone
game.
Yeah,
I think they announced that last month, which is why I held off on Arma 2.
Yeah, I never picked up Arma 2 either, much as I wanted to play DayZ.
I was going to hold off on Arma 2 and DayZ until they made an actual video game out of it, instead of just like wander around.
I doubt they'll ever make a video game out of it. It's just going to, because they've been actively moving away from that with each patch. They want it to be you summon up and you die. That's it.
Yeah. And it's not even like the zombies are the issue at this point. It's just like roving bands of madmen with large guns that you can't do anything against, which I guess is what would happen in a zombie apocalypse, but kind of defeats the point. At this point, you could just like get rid of the zombies and no one will know, because you'd never encounter a zombie because these other people would want to kill you.
Speaking of zombies, it's the middle of August and I'm chomping at the bit for another Walking Dead episode.
I have them. I need to actually play them, but I'm playing other games. Maybe once I beat Dead Space 2.
It's like 2 hours an episode. You can get through it in a night.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You
should sit there and just do it in one sitting if you possibly
can.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I can somehow get the wife, Mrs. Belita, and possibly enjoy it as well. I don't know.
It's fun for the whole family.
It seems
family.
Like she might. The whole family. All right, Parker, grab a seat, baby. What should we do? No, that's terrible. Well, okay, you killed him.
I don't think he has cognizance of what he's seeing yet.
But I do. But
we're going to see some shit, because there's some awful, awful things that happen in that game.
Speaking of awful, awful things, there's a BronyCon in Virginia.
That's pretty awful.
Should I go report on it?
Well, I think it's already finished. Oh. But also...
You know what?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's an issue, because it's putting all the ponies in one area. Okay?
That, you know where they're at. Image.
It's like the gathering of the Juggalos. It's like, as long as you give the Juggalos a goal and like a place to go, they won't bother the rest of us. So if you have a BronyCon and you give them their own culture, they might leave the rest of us alone.
See, I can see this going south real quickly. Like, if the...
going south.
Like, the...
This is south.
The idea that the show is about friendship is magic and everyone should get along and get together. Then you see so much, like, Nazi pony art and, like, conservative bronies that, like, I don't like black people. It just, you know, maybe you're missing the point of the show a little bit.
Yeah. You know, at first I was kind of surprised that there, like, any of my friends liked My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. And then I remembered what my friends are like. It's like, okay, you guys are into a cartoon, whatever. You've been into cartoons before. You've been into the children's cartoons before. This is no big deal. And then all of a sudden, it's a culture? When the hell did that start?
It's a culture based on, I think, like, two seasons of, what is even the channel it's on? Cartoon Network, I guess? Yeah. Two seasons of that. And don't get me wrong, like, the writer's really good. I mean, Lauren Faust has actually done good things, you know? I think it's, like, really responsible for Powerpuff Girls for crying out loud.
I've seen very little of it, but I saw one thing where one of the ponies was flying and breaks a sound barrier. And I was like, okay, this is kind of goofy and fun. I can understand why people like this, but... Yeah.
Well, the weird thing about it... Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, the obsessive level with which they like it is just beyond me.
Well, though. I mean, I feel like the elephant in the room is it's not a whole bunch of people that like the show because of its content.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the picture on this article that I linked is the dude just buck-ass naked, dressed as a pony. Or painted as a pony.
Oh, he's wearing
tights. Is he wearing tights?
He's wearing tights. Yeah, you can see the wrinkles in the torso.
Yeah.
But it's like, the target
got a lovely
was...
name.
The target, like, it's... I'll admit, I've watched some episodes, which is weird because I've watched more episodes of Friendship is Magic than, like, Disney movies. But... And it's well written for, like, the target audience, who are supposed to be, like, 8-12-year-old girls. And, like, it provides, like a story of, like, independence and, like storylines written around them instead of, like, storylines written to sell toys to little boys and just... happens to be a girl in the audience in the group, right? How do these guys get there? How do these something awful goons and these people from 4chan see that target and think, yeah, that's me?
Maybe this is just like some
this
sort
is
of
speaking
massive Milgram experiment, or like we know when we see someone with a pony avatar, if they're trying to be like all internet badass, that's someone you don't take seriously. It's just there to make us laugh. There's a meta entertainment here.
Maybe that's something that happened. Maybe it's like these guys picked it up to be hipsters about it, and then they so bought into the image that they couldn't back out anymore. It's like it'd be such a loss of face. And like it just – and eventually one thing leads to another, and you have like grown men who have dressed as Pinkie Pie, and I'm kind of embarrassed by the fact that I know that that's so sweet. Pinkie Pie, but there it is. I think it's just like one upsmanship led onto another, and now everyone is caught up in this horrible thing that no one can leave. Sort of like the modern Republican Party.
I mean, I do wonder how many of these guys are doing this to get laid.
None. Absolutely none.
Point
to me. Okay, so there is a knot of girls in the back, but so I was going about to say, like, point to me the girl at BronyCon who's not 12. I don't think you could.
But I mean, if you're like a hardcore nerd, I guess, and you don't really have much social skills, maybe this is the sort of thing that like you think, oh, this is a community that is going to have a baked in number of women.
Yeah, those women are either like housewives or 12. I don't know. Maybe it's like some kind of like you get like some internet nerds together and they see this. Oh, wait, this is targeted toward women. This is kind of feminist. If I watch this, maybe ladies will think I'm feminist, even though I'm not. I'm a horrible 4chan goon.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, ponies.
Also, there are conservative bronies. And
one of those dudes has a webcomic.
Yes. Yes, he does.
And it's incredible.
Wait, that's an actual comic? Like an ongoing thing?
There's a villain in it named Libby.
I thought he just made that one comic strip.
No, there's multiples.
Nah. No, he's telling political parables through ponies.
Okay, teaching
the perils of socialism and Obamacare with ponies.
I feel like we're making Brian nervous.
I feel uncomfortable.
Or sick.
I need an adult.
Bit of both. Whatever. Do your thing, but it's to the point where they feel the need. I don't know. I'm not educated enough about it to talk about it, but they're spoken out to the point of they just feel compelled that they have to tell everybody that this is okay. This is okay.
And for them, it's okay. And not to like keep talking about things that aren't video games, but it does kind of annoy me that My Little Pony has stayed relevant for the past 25 years, and Silverhawks was kinda almost popular once and never came back again. Oh, man. There is no justice in this world.
I may be remembering wrong, but I feel like Silverhawks had Jerry Orbach on it.
It kind of had a guy look like Jerry Orbach. It may have actually been Jerry Orbach because that dude had no pride.
He was on Silverhawks because I remember seeing like a fan thing where they replaced all his dialogue with dialogue from Law & Order.
Oh, nice.
And it works out strangely well because he's said basically everything that's awesome. In that show.
Yeah. How many seasons was he on Law & Order? Like 17 seasons?
Yeah, about. And then he was on another Law & Order before he died. Like, they brought him back to a separate Law & Order show.
And he had to, I think that had to end because he died.
Yeah, they basically built the show around him.
Man, I miss old cartoon names. I mean, look at these names. Commander Stargazer.
Hell yeah.
Quicksilver, Colonel Bluegrass, Steelheart and Steel Will, The Copper Kid with 2 Ds.
Yeah.
And then their villains... Monstar, Yes Man, Hardware, Melodia, Windhammer, Molecular, Mumbo Jumbo, Poker Face, Time Stopper, Buzzsaw, Zero the Memory Thief, Smiley.
Everyone had a guitar or a keytar, and they turned into birds.
What's a popular cartoon nowadays?
Adventure Time, I think it's pretty popular.
Ponies. The damn ponies are popular.
Phineas and Ferb, I hear people talk a lot about.
You know, I don't think there are any cartoons like this that are popular right now, though.
Right.
Yeah, like they kind of went away from selling action figures, which I think may be marked the fall of Western civilization.
Well, they moved on to live action stuff because like Disney pushes that Cyrus and God, I sound old.
And for action figures, there's a new version of G.I. Joe that they sell action figures for just fine.
Does it look just like Channing Tatum?
I don't think there's a new cartoon for it. It's like they have cartoons now, but it's like they have a new Scooby-Doo cartoon that is apparently extraordinarily well written and actually worth seeing. But there's no way I can wrap my head around the idea of spending time in my 30s, closing in on 40, watching a damn Scooby-Doo cartoon. I don't care who wrote it. Bill Hicks
had
wrote
baby.
This thing from the grave. Yeah,
borrow mine.
By the time I trick a lady into having a child for me, this thing will be gone and will be completely gone.
By the time you trick a woman into having a baby for you, it'll be all archived on Netflix.
That's a good point.
Did anyone watch the this is when I was growing up. I watched a cartoon called Pro Stars, which was.
Oh, God, Pro Stars.
Which is Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Bo Jackson.
Yes.
Saving the world. They had, like...
God, that intro where the... what was the football player in it?
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, yeah, right?
He,
when
he was
swings, like, a telephone pole at the camera. Oh, man, it's Pro Stars intro. Watching it right
now. Also, he
now.
Was, like, a genius or something.
Yeah. He was like a super
because
genius.
There was
Oh, man,
ads at the time that were say they were like Bo knows everything. So for
it's got
this,
live action footage
oh God, I remember like
of like.
their mom or whatever. Like they had a handler, like a Q type of agent that was like this super Jewish, like semi-Yiddish woman that would just
Oh,
keep giving them
man.
gadgets.
Michael Jordan with rocket boots carrying a helpless woman away from a fire with his tongue hanging out.
I'm surprised Michael Jordan hasn't used like his wealth to track down these episodes and make sure no one can watch them, because he's really protective of his image, like basically after that happened.
Man, Wayne Gretzky was basically the Green Arrow of sports. Oh, that's right. He swung the log, and then it had the P, like the P Star logo on the end of it. Oh, and then they bumped fists in the air. Oh man, that show was fucking awesome.
Wayne Gretzky, we need your help. Are you surrounded by ice? No, then call someone
Oh well.
else.
I'm reading some of
Can't
these
help you there, bro.
episode synopses. A supervillain named Short John Silver sails an idyllic Caribbean island, imprisons the inhabitants, and steals the ancient pirate treasure they discovered until the Pro Stars come and stop him.
But there's no ice in the Caribbean.
Oh man, Mutant League. All right.
Video games.
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's other any other big news that's happened lately?
Well, there was the Dark Souls thing. That was kind of important, just to hear Gaff
oh, yeah.
collectively gnash its teeth
I
yet
mean, that
again.
PC port is kind of shit.
It
I
is
can
kind
deal
of
with like the
shit, but
capped
from
frame rate. Like, okay, if you need
sure.
to make a bad port, capping the frame rate's not too bad, but the internal resolution only being 720 is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And they, you know, if modders want to fix that, they can. But I mean, how many people do you think work at From?
Hopefully.
I mean, Namco could have easily had someone else port it, someone who knows how to port things.
Yeah, but would you really want to make any money back on that?
I think they would have made money out of a decent port.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking at the end of the day, you're talking about kind of an. I guess it did sell well on the
It hit
consoles,
about
but the
2 million, I
concept.
think.
Yeah. But I mean, it's inherently a niche concept. PC gamers aren't going to like this thing by its very nature. It's an action RPG, despite the fact that it feels kind of PC-ish. I think it was kind of more remarkable in a game that you saw this type of game on a console. I think you move it to the PC, it wouldn't be quite as remarkable.
I mean, Witcher 2
Yeah.
sold a couple of million. That's very
That was,
similar.
and it was also very
All right,
broken.
so here's what happens. They're adding mod tools to Witcher 2, right? Didn't you
Yeah,
see something
the
about
Red
that?
Kit or whatever.
So thus did this remake Dark Souls and Witcher 2
But
engine.
this time with boobs. Yeah.
Sure, you could have a relationship dating mini
Well,
game side quest in Dark
you would have
Souls.
to. Well, you'd have to like come up for a way for more than one woman to be in Dark Souls, and for that lady not to disappear after the first half hour.
There was that one that was stuck to the wall.
Is that
Oh
one
yeah, that
that
could be her dating
you?
persona.
She was. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, there was three, because there was that old witch hiding at the end of that one long hallway who would sell you like poison reagents, and then the lady who was trapped in the wall. A lot of ladies trapped in the wall in
Also, the
this game.
spider boss. That was a woman.
Okay, yeah, I definitely have a dating game based on the spider boss
Yeah, I feel like we could
there.
easily make Dark Souls into a dating sim.
You could take any game and make it a dating sim if you tried hard enough.
Well, you can take a dating sim and make a fighting game out of it.
There you
So,
go.
yeah,
Isn't that
why
what
not?
happened with Skullgirls? Isn't
Totally.
No, I know nothing about Skullgirls.
Skullgirls is skeevy. I'm sorry. That might be a great game, but that's really a skeevy looking
Well,
thing.
that's the problem I'm having with a
Yeah.
lot of games now. Like, I kind of want to get Kodo Princess, but I don't want to look at that logo or
The
that
zombie
box
one.
art.
Yeah, it kind of makes you embarrassed to enjoy this hobby. It's like they could have just as easily made that a little more tasteful. Maybe not make her look like she was 13. Maybe give her a shirt. Maybe make her look like she knows how to hold a sword without breaking her wrist in
And I'm
half.
like,
Any of those
I'm
things.
interested in the game because it's like the part of the former Guardian Heroes team, which excites me, but
Yeah.
I mean, give her a goddamn shirt.
It's going to be a great game. Or what was the VanillaWare game that they were working on before the Vita destroyed itself
That
collapsed?
was Queen's something? Source?
Yeah,
Dragon's Crown, that was
Dragon's
it.
Crown?
That game actually has a
Yeah.
funny story because Ignition was publishing it, and Ignition made a whole bunch of promises like the game will be $30, and if you buy one, you get it on PS3 as well. And it's like,
Yeah.
Atlas took over at some point because Ignition went bust, and Atlas is like, I don't know why they made these promises. None of this is workable, and we had to basically start the game over from the beginning.
And who knows if we even see it.
I assume we're going to have to see it at this point if they're investing money into it.
I mean, to be frank, the only reason people were like interested in that game because of the witch lady with the enormous breasts. But it looked like a competent little 2D brawler, you know? It looked like a competent little
Well, that's the
game.
Thing. People are interested in the art because of the one with the giant breasts. Ass. But, yeah, how many 2D brawlers have we gotten in the past 10 years? Almost none.
Most of them are
basically Castle Crashers.
There was the one that was attached to the Scott Pilgrim game that was actually quite
hilariously got a patch, I think, this week.
Ooh. Yeah,
it is
money.
Yeah, DLC patch that puts in online multiplayer, but it's $5.
It also gives a it also gives another player to.
Yeah, it gives you a character, which is I feel like the only way they can probably justify that.
As long if it came with a mode that like fixed the game's leveling system. Because, like, you gain levels in this game because it's an RPG. But, like, at this, when you start, like, the upper third of the level cap, the game is just dead. Even at the hardest level, it can't do anything to you. If they fix that, I'd play $5 to, like, have that experience again, because that's actually a really well-made little 2D scroller, even if, like, the pixel art was made by that one guy. God, it does the
Pat
really...
Pat Robertson.
The
guy that did Pirate Cabana, Baby Battle, and Kings of Ultimate Power 4000.
That guy has some problems.
Yeah. He does really good sprite work, though.
No, Pat Robertson. I already said it.
He does really good work. It just, you don't want to see all of it because some of it is very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does some weird shit, but, you know, whatever.
Weird shit's one way to put it.
The best part of that game, though, is the Amanaguchi music.
Yes, it's custom rap music.
Like, I don't know why more developers have not hired out Amanaguchi for their games.
I'm pretty sure
it's Amanaguchi, isn't it?
Now I'm thinking of onomatopoeia.
That's the definition of, like, when a word makes the same sound as the actual sound.
Right. It is. It's onomatoguchi.
Onomatoguchi? Okay.
So, like, onomatopoeia, but not.
See, if you try to spell that phonetically, you get Amanda Gooch.
Man.
I just thought that was funny.
Let's take a break. Episode 98 in the Night to Beer Beardcast. We just got joined by a special guest, Matt Snack. Matt Snack, would you like to say hello?
Nope, got a mute button.
Son of a bitch. Damn it, man. He was so crunchy and delicious.
Apparently,
for the world, sound like Captain Crunch.
Apparently, Horde mode was just announced for Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, I just watched the video for that with all the robots running off some giant machine spaceship. That might be neat.
Well, I guess I got to install TF2 now.
I've had it installed. I've not played it in a very long time. Yeah, they keep adding stuff to that game. It's neat. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Valve is next. I guess they're adding a bunch of stuff to Steam Community, which is pretty neat.
I care so little about the Community tab, though.
Well, it yeah.
I use it to check what badges I have, and that's pretty much it.
Badges. Gotta love them badges.
All right, so we've all been playing Beyond Good and Evil 2, or 1, because 2 doesn't exist.
Correct.
That'd be quite the feat.
Never will.
Oh. Yeah, we decided that for our inaugural Nitrobeard's Illiterates Book Club, that we would all play Beyond Good and Evil and talk about it.
So did we get anyone to write us about Beyond Good and Evil with their impressions on the game?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so. I haven't checked the post or anything, but I don't believe
nobody in the post had. It's just
yeah.
The last post we had was somebody who was upset at Cammy's
Diablo 3 versus Torchlight 2. Yeah.
Anyway, Beyond Good and Evil.
Never did, but yeah, Beyond Good and Evil. I first played that game in college. When did it first? I think I played it when it first came
2002,
out.
2002, I think.
Which is 2002, which would have been when I first went into college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's after 2002. It's like 2004.
Was it that late?
And I...
No, definitely not 2004. I graduated in 2004.
2004 is when Resident Evil 4 came out.
My friends were playing Beyond Good and Evil when I was still in college, so it's definitely before 2004.
There isn't a way to find this out. It's called Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And
I was doing that. 2000. And, like, for some reason, I looked up 2004 instead of Beyond Good and Evil.
2003.
Nice. I'll just look through all the games released in 2004.
2004. The year
It came out in 2003. And I played it on Microsoft Windows.
Yeah.
And loved it. I really, really loved
that
game.
That PC port is kind of dog shit. Like,
well, okay,
modern
now,
hardware,
when you say,
at least.
When you say port, do you mean like the HD version?
No, the PC version they sell on Steam.
The actual PC version, okay. Which is not... I guess the HD version only came out on Xbox. Yeah. I don't know if it hit PC.
Most companies will put their HD versions on the PC as well and like replace their old ones. But not Ubisoft.
I do have a question this, though. Of the originals, is there any version that's not kind of dog shit? Because I'll tell you, the GameCube one is definitely the opposite of a technical achievement. I mean, I can't believe that came out in 2003 and there's no widescreen or 480p support.
Back in those days, Ubisoft used to put their GameCube ports on like a team of one or two guys. Like, Sands of Time was one person.
Yeah.
It's sad. That actually was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I didn't have any issues with the PC version.
Well, okay, so here's an example of what it does on modern hardware. If you don't turn off hardware processing, the HUD where your hearts are supposed to be, they can't find the right 2D image, so they replace it with any random texture they can find.
Oh, I like that. That's cool. It's glitched.
It's glitched.
You got Paige's.
I got Paige's eyes.
I was just about to randomly suggest you got Paige's face, just like the flat face.
So it's like Silent Hill.
Pretty much.
So do we need to explain what Beyond Good and Evil is to anyone who maybe does not know?
It is a French Zelda-like.
Kind of Zelda. I mean, if we're going to call it Zelda, it's like the most linear Zelda ever made. Because you can't sequence break in this damn thing. You can only go to an area when it's opened up to you. And like, there's no exploration aside from like the little areas off to the side. Or like,
well,
like the alpha sections. And you like, get like a
plenty.
Well, the things where it's like Zelda, you can have conversations with people, although it has, unlike Zelda, it has dialogue trees. You can actually say things to people.
Right.
It's a third-person, melee-based game with minimal platforming.
And stealth elements.
Well, it has really good stealth elements where Zelda, whenever they do that, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And in fact, you kind of wonder if maybe it's more of a stealth game than it is like a 3D platform.
Which makes sense given the setting.
It doesn't become a stealth game until like the third dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, stealth makes more sense for the character, which is this a female. What is she? She's like a photo. She's a journalist.
She's a freelance photojournalist who's been taking care of these orphans who live at this lighthouse, and everyone's being oppressed by these aliens, and it turns out the aliens are of course actually the real government. And
it takes place like 500 years in the future, so it's futuristic. There's sci-fi aspects, and
there's rhinoceros people. They're goat people. They're pig people.
Yep. Your uncle is a pig person.
This reminded me of is like a video game if it was like commissioned by Ted Turner. There was so much like felt like forced diversity. Now I'm like as liberal, like more liberal than most people. It really felt like a forced diversity in this game and like a forced like environmental message. I don't know if anybody else got that.
I mean, that's the kind of thing Ansel does. He even does it with Rayman.
Yeah.
But in like Rayman, cartoonish and funny.
I don't really
with huge breasts.
I don't really feel that it was forced. I mean, I feel that the game overall was pretty genuine.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's. I guess force is the wrong word because it feels like it's from a different culture because it's French. Maybe that's part of the deal.
I didn't really get an environmentalist message out of it. I mean, granted, it's more only about halfway through.
Yeah, it's more anti-corporate message.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that make this game unique. And just some of the special little touches, like the photographing animals.
I feel like photography is pretty much like it was only done well in this game and then never again.
Yeah, well, I think photography was touched on in a lot of games on this era, like the scanning and like Metroid Prime games.
Right.
Yeah,
and
but in this
I guess...
one, it was a legitimate gameplay mechanic.
Yeah.
You use the camera to zoom in and check things out, even if there was nothing to photograph. You use it to zoom in and find things ahead of you.
Yeah.
Right. Or like if like it was night and you like zoom up into the sky, you can like photograph like well you can photograph them, but your camera went out like constellations in the sky, which I thought was a great little touch. It's like basically everything you can look at has a little bit of flavor text to it. This is a labor of love is this game.
Yeah, that's I think so.
I love that every time you point the camera and Paige is in the shot, he waves at you.
That was great.
Yeah, well, I guess Dead Rising had the whole photography thing that you could do, right? But that was for like shits and giggles.
See, the thing that like kinda, what separates Dead Rising's photography from Beyond Good and Evil's photography to me is that Beyond Good and Evil's like the whole taking a picture of something and sending it off to this person who like will talk about the photo and then upload and all that had personality.
Exactly.
Dead Rising would just
take
the picture and
it had actual charm.
Yeah, it was like just take a picture of like the weirdest shit you could find. And Dead Rising, whereas Beyond Good and Evil is like kind of an exploration aspect because you know you get pearls every time you like finish a roll of film, and like you couldn't like take a picture unless it was a unique animal you hadn't taken a picture.
It actually felt like you were cataloging things.
Yeah,
pearls in the game are a collectible that you can then use to spend and upgrade various things like your ship and I guess it is pretty much mainly your ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you use to travel around the semi-open world.
There's also in Beyond Good and Evil that one thing that's missing in other games where there's cameras is that the camera taking photos is often the whole point of the mission.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the mission isn't to go in and blow something up. The mission is to go in and get documented.
Because you're part of this underground resistance called ISIS that is fighting against this alien invasion that have taken over the security force on the planet.
And it's kind of the fiction for that is like the governor of the island that you're living on. She wants proof every time you go into a place. Well, I'm not entirely sure that these horrible alpha sections do. We have conclusive photographic evidence that they're enslaving people before in the last mission. I've completely forgotten about that. And I'm not going to give you the code to get to the next place until you give me more photographs. Lady, I have reams of photographs showing you that people are being kidnapped, put into boxes, put into crates, and then blown off to the moon, and now you're saying I can't do that unless I give you pictures of weird things.
Why would they even have an x-ray scanner above those crates anyway?
You know, for quality assurance. You know, in case somebody accidentally puts like a tiny man inside one of the boxes, and then you completely ignore it because it was actually all part of your horrible conspiracy to begin with.
I do like the fact that you can compare some of the photography in this game to Pokemon Snap. Because there's...
I was going to bring that
up. There's,
like,
certain things you have to do
I always
to,
hear
like,
a lot of people
bring out certain animals. Like, in the first dungeon, you have to turn off the lights everywhere and close the door in a room to get, like, the glow thing to come out.
Like, there's some pretty intricate stuff in exploring and finding, like, zooming in really close to find a small beetle and to get photo. And it becomes something that you actually kind of care about. Not only because, you know, you get a reward for it, but because you're kind of, I don't know, at least I was interested in finding these different kind of life forms and stuff that they created in animals kind of in this planet.
So one thing I didn't really like about the game is that like it's very much 2003 saving.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted that made sense back then, but now 10 years later, kind of not.
Yeah, if you think that at least in the HD port, they could just have a quick save anywhere. Yeah. But no, you have to find, it's like, I guess it's not quite Resident Evil because you're not having to find like ink tablets or like
your disk save is reusable.
Right, but you can still only save at a console. So if like you get screwed one day and you have to leave the game early, and not sure there's plenty of those consoles around, but still there is definitely the aspect where you could lose progress.
I mean, even like for some reason, like I had to start the game and then I got invited to Left 4 Dead or something. And when I came back, I forgot that it's saved that way. So despite finishing the intro and doing like most of the like first right. 20 minutes with the stuff, I didn't actually hit that the save point. Yeah. And for some reason, it's a save point 20 minutes after the first part. Because that, because I guess they figured you'd have more of a time commitment back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if a video game did that today, they'd be hammered terribly.
Well, a video game... hammered, but it'd still be just as playable as long as you keep in mind that, you know, we're all adults with lives that need tending. And, you know, back in college, I could sit down and play a game for 6 hours straight on the right day.
Right.
But I can't do that anymore. It's yeah. just a part of getting older. So
I just think handhelds have changed that aspect a whole lot, too.
Yeah. But even if they didn't update the save system, for people that age, I don't think it would be an issue.
Also, I have to wonder if, like, okay, because I guess Halo was probably the first console game to just do the autosave where you just didn't worry about it. I have to wonder if maybe... The form of save files, like with the PS2, you couldn't really rely on that a lot because maybe it's really slow.
The first thing is that you couldn't rely on the card being plugged in.
Right.
That's why they always gave you a message whenever it was about to save anything. Also,
who are
these
people who are unplugging their save carts in the middle of a session like that?
But... There's also the issue that the design specifications that Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft wrote for people to get certified said that they had to warn people that they were saving things.
Yeah.
Like, that was something you had to do to get your game licensed.
And do we know what will happen if you actually do turn off the system in the middle of saving? Will it actually set your system on fire? Because that's what I've been led to believe.
It can corrupt your data really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's bad.
Yeah, there's no room on those memory cards to write a new file and then erase the old one.
Yeah.
Which is generally how you do that in a fail-safe manner. So
well, I guess it's... Well, like, you have games now, like, virtually every modern game has, like, an autosave feature. And, like, it's always just some little icon, like, in the top corner screen that you see once and then you never see again because you stop paying attention to it. I don't wonder how many people are probably doing this, just, like, turning off the system.
I've always been, weirded out by how it's a floppy disk on consoles.
Yeah.
Like, I can see how it makes sense on PC, but...
On some games, the game where I saw it the most on Gran Turismo 4, it was a little icon of the PlayStation 2 memory card.
Yeah.
And that made a lot of sense.
Well, the floppy disk has at some point become like the universal save icon, and the people and like 90% of people have no idea what the hell that thing is. This is weird. That square means save. That's what that.
Well,
means.
We're conditioned to know that like a circle with a line up the top means power. So I guess kids these days have no problem understanding what save means. But yeah, Beyond Good and Evil.
It's very much you can take a look at it and see the compromises that had been made to put that thing on like the PS2, because the any given area is really small, and you lead into these areas through these tunnels, and it's really easy to like get confused as to where you came in from because the camera will change. Yeah. So there's a lot of load screens because the areas are super duper tiny. So that was frustrating. And you knew, like, if it was, like, they're using it for the GameCube or the Xbox at the time, they could make bigger areas.
They could make areas with a lot more detail, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The geometry is disturbingly simple in certain areas.
Which is weird, because when you get to the HD version, it starts to look like a Warner Brothers cartoon. And not like the old Warner Brothers, but, like, the animated, like, DCU stuff now. Very stylized, very clean, and, like, sharp, with the sharp textures to it. Maybe that was what they were originally going for.
So I feel like one of the reasons why people keep pointing to Beyond Good and Evil as an important game is that it had a female protagonist who looked good but didn't look good in the traditional video game way.
Well, she was feminine, but she wasn't sexualized. And the thing that surprised me in this entire game was they never really addressed that Jade is a lady. You know, like Paige will say, "Oh, girl, what's going on?" And but that makes sense because, like, it's weirdly this pig guy is her uncle somehow. I'm not going to go into that, but hey, whatever you guys are doing, whatever. But it's like she had a motherly aspect because she's taking care of the orphans, which is kind of cool. But you also got the idea that a guy could probably have done the same thing. Yeah. They don't make any big deal that there's this very feminine, attractive young lady who's also very competent and going on these adventures.
A female protagonist without having to shoehorn in a stupid romance.
And you know the sad part. It's sad that is remarkable. That shouldn't be remarkable, but it's even after all this time, nearly 10 years later, you so rarely see that.
And that's one of the things that I think is because this is so French of a game.
Yeah.
That they don't think that's that big a deal.
Yeah.
It almost kind of fits the Joan of Arc stereotype a little bit more, but maybe a little less crazy in this game.
One thing that was disappointing, they tried to do a lot of, especially later in the game, like a lot of like heavy hitting acting and like really heavy emotional spots, but there's only so much face modeling they could do with the PS2 technology, and it was just super flat. Like there's this horrible disaster that befalls Jade like 2/3 of the way through the game, and like you can tell this is supposed to be a huge emotional thing for her, but her face can't do anything with it. All she can do is like close her eyes for a couple of seconds, like slouch back against the wall, and like a couple of seconds later she's back again. It's like, what? And she can do like two expressions, one of them like holy shit something just hit me, and normal.
Yeah.
And also the voice acting, did the PS2 have voice acting, or was this something that was put into the HD version?
It had voice acting.
The voice acting is shit.
Yep.
I mean, just complete garbage. I don't know if it's because it's French and like they only got like the nearest like English speaker they could for this thing. Oh my god, the voice acting is terrible.
It seems strange because like Ubisoft and that, they didn't do a bad job with Prince of Persia. Sands of Time had really good voice acting, but it only really
like,
had voice acting.
Splinter Cell.
I didn't think Beyond Good and Evil's voice acting was terrible.
It's very flat. It was extreme. Like, everyone is entirely monotone about everything, except for Paige and the armor
and
gun.
Double H. Yeah.
I'm only up to the beginning of the slaughterhouse. So that's, what, about halfway?
Well, you've met everybody that's going to talk.
Okay.
I
didn't think it was bad. I mean, it's utilitarian. It serves its purpose, okay.
Jade should have had a better voice actor is probably the biggest thing. Like, because she's the one doing all the talking, and I don't know.
I understand they wanted to keep her kind of monotone, but I feel like other actresses have done better with that. Like, Jennifer Hale does a great job with monotone woman.
Yeah. But again, they were going to spend a lot of money on this game. The thing that I tried to figure out with this is I always had, like, very good memories of Beyond Good and Evil. And, like, as a fanboy of something, you're always convinced, especially with, like, Beyond Good and Evil, which didn't receive a lot of success, if it deserved more success than it got. Excuse me. And I'm just not quite sure on Beyond Good and Evil. As much as I like it, as a good game as it is, like, there are fundamental, like, mechanical things that are wrong with this that I can see would turn off most of the...
Well, it's a Zelda-like that came out in the same year as a Zelda game. So that probably didn't help it very much.
A Zelda game that was much more involved. Much more involved.
Mark, did you play Beyond Good and Evil when it first came out?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Did you... Now, what you just said, is that how you feel about it now, or when you first played it?
It's not how I felt when I first played it, because, I don't know, maybe... Because I hadn't actually played a lot of, like, Zelda-like games. Like, in fact, maybe this and Okami, like, the first two Zelda-like games I'd ever played. I did play some of Wind Waker, rather. I don't know why I keep calling it thing Wind Walker. But through, like, the hand boss. So I had a pretty good idea of how these things were played. But, the camera is horrible. I mean, like, I don't know, like, at what point exactly cameras became acceptable in games, but this had the cinematic camera you had no control over or very little control, and like every room had three different camera angles that you could walk into at any given moment, and every time you switch camera angles you switch movement, which if you're a developer and you're doing that, just I hate you. I want to find you. I'm like get a ruler and just smack you across the wrists and your knuckles, because you're an evil person. I don't know how that happens, but and that happens all the time Beyond Good and Evil. And especially in like when Jade is shimmering across a wall, you know, which is like fight against a parapet. happens constantly. Like, you'd be walking left, change the camera, and now all of a sudden you had to push up in order to finish the walk. That should never, ever happen. There's so many areas where you can, like, be between camera angles, and the game can't figure out which camera angle you're supposed to find, and I just keep swapping back and forth.
Camera controls come a long way sometimes in some aspects, but
I just remember, like, Ninja Gaiden having a huge issue with its cameras. I don't know if, like, this is just something of this generation, like, developers were trying to get a handle on their cameras.
Well, after that generation, they stopped trying to really do cinematic angles and started doing it so there's basically a camera sphere around the main character.
And, yeah. That was the Mario system. It
was the Mario system, but they weren't really doing that after that point so much. They did that for 3D platformers, then Zelda came out, and it kind of had some cinematic angles here and there. So they tried to emulate.
Yeah, Zelda has this way, starting with Wind Waker, of setting up a cinematic camera angle when you enter a room so that you can see what's ahead of you. And then as soon as you step away from the door, it switches to the normal camera.
Yeah.
Right. Like, now action games have, like, the camera sphere, which is, I guess, what Assassin's Creed kind of uses. So I guess if they do make a new Beyond Good and Evil, that's how they're going to do it.
Should there be a new Beyond Good and Evil, or do you think everything that they needed to do was told?
There was that leaked footage that looked like Assassin's Creed, like slash Mirror's Edge, I guess.
It did not look like Beyond Good and Evil.
Well, on the Wikipedia page entry for Beyond Good and Evil 2, it says that work on it was halted to work on Rayman Origins, or, you know, delayed or something. So I don't know.
I think
it would be neat.
I think they're probably going to let him do it. Yeah, that footage was total.
I think that was bull footage.
Well, my problem with Beyond Good and Evil is that Beyond Good and Evil desperately needs an editor.
Yeah.
I really like some of the things they tried to do in the game, but a lot of it should have been cut out.
Yeah, and I mean, came from the generation where you could not skip cutscenes as well, which is incredibly frustrating, especially when, like I said, you didn't save at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long ass cutscene at the beginning.
Yep. Bunch of long ass cutscenes.
Yeah. And what's neat is, like, on the HD version, your default option when you first do the game is, like, start new game. Not load new game, but start new game. Yeah. So the best thing to do is just exit out and restart that game.
Yeah. Because
it's way quicker.
Yeah, that's another pet peeve with games.
So do you guys think that it deserved better than it did? Do you think it deserved more success than it did?
I feel like either Beyond Good and Evil or Prince of Persia could have made it out of there alive, and I probably prefer that Prince of Persia did.
I don't think it deserved any more commercial success than it had. I'm glad it got as much critical acclaim as it did because it was kind of unique. Yeah.
I think it did well enough. I think it did as well as it probably should have, which is, I think, pretty well. A lot of people love it, and as Matt was saying, it got a good amount of critical acclaim. So
it is kind of like an art house film.
Yeah.
And you can't really go apeshit when an art house film doesn't enjoy massive commercial success, as long as it's good and it's out there and people can enjoy it.
Now, would you say there's a difference between a game as an art house film and a game as a cult classic, or like a cult favorites?
Yes. And it's the same thing that is the difference between a cult classic and an art house film in movies. Okay. Cult classics don't have to be good.
Okay.
They just have to be something that everyone loves. Like, Evil Dead is not necessarily a great film in the whole, you know, world of filmmaking, but enough people like it and enjoy it that it's got a following.
I think so. And the thing that impresses me about it is you would never see this type of game in today's climate. This game would not see the funding because it's not a AAA game. It's not something Activision could sit there and sell yearly. You know, I think maybe the last time we saw this type of game this generation might have been Mirror's Edge.
I mean, probably the modern corollary to Beyond Good and Evil is Darksiders. Mm. In fairness, they're very similar games, just not in tone.
Yeah. Now you mention it, yeah, because Darksiders also had the same thing where you couldn't really explore a lot aside from the hub world. Like you could only, but it was like
it was the Zelda-like they wanted to make into a different game.
Well, there's Dreamfall.
Oh, Dreamfall too.
Or the longest journey. Journey, which is really good, methinks. I don't know. But yeah, I think it did as well as it probably should have. But speaking of games from around the same time, Advent Rising, on the other hand, is a game I think didn't get enough acclaim and love.
Which one is Advent Rising?
It's a third-person shooter. It was written by Orson Scott Card.
Oh, yeah.
Do we hate
him? It's the one they spent like $50 million or something absurd, but it killed... God, who was it? Majesco?
Yeah, it was Majesco. And yeah, I guess they spent a lot and they had some competition or something. Yeah. And it was supposed to be a sequel. I really, really enjoyed it.
It's supposed to be a trilogy that they couldn't actually finish because they went
under. Exactly. Yeah. Which I think is sad.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, I'm back.
I thought we lost you. We were just talking about Advent Rising.
Oh.
Which I was saying is a game I think is deserving of more acclaim.
What game I think might be like a good comparison for this around the same time be Psychonauts.
Yeah.
I think Psychonauts is a game that probably got more praise than it absolutely deserves. I think these two games are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
It's a bad platformer, in my opinion.
It's a bad platformer. Yeah, it's good writing, bad platformer, and its adherents are convinced that thing is an amazing video game when it is absolutely not.
But I feel like they're going to probably make a Psychonauts 2 because they've been hinting at something along those lines for a little while.
Yeah. And it might be, you know, once he got that first concept out, you know, now that they can like work on making that right, maybe that's something like with Beyond Good and Evil 2 that they could do. But it's like, it's been so long and you saw that test footage, and that test footage was like, it was like a Bourne movie. Like, you're looking at this is absolutely...
You press A to do something.
Yeah. Am I the only one who looks at that and immediately says, wait, why are there guns in Beyond Good and Evil now?
Yeah, you're right.
Where did the guns come from? Where did this Bangkok-style city come from when the whole thing was based around this kind of pseudo-Parisian feel?
It's gritty.
Pseudo-Parisian feel and very cartoony. Yeah, it's gritty, and like the original one was like cartoony and clean and, you know... It's just a lot of things that are wrong with the current generation.
I feel like whenever an Ubisoft game like gets presented, someone says, "What if we make it like Assassin's Creed?"
Yeah,
because I don't know if you guys saw the Prince of Persia leak.
More like
the Prince of.
I did hear about that.
There's a Prince of Persia leak that looks really a lot like Assassin's Creed. Like you didn't actually see any gameplay, but the actual just style of it, I guess. Maybe they're just reusing the engine. Who knows?
Yeah. It's possible. So I think we should do Advent Rising for our next Illiterous Book
Club.
That's
going to be hard to track down.
It's on GOG. Yeah.
I didn't know there was a PC port. $6. I thought it was Xbox only.
Nope. Played it on PC. Huh. You forget, man. PC Master Race, baby.
On the other hand, Mark confessed the other day he's never played Mario 64.
Really?
Yeah.
The only Mario game I've ever played was Yoshi's Island. The only Zelda games I've played were Twilight Princess and Wind Waker.
It's going to be tough for you to play Mario 64 and actually enjoy it. Because it has aged quite a bit.
Yeah, I was thinking if I was going to do this, I'd like go through like some of the older ones and maybe like put something on the site about it if anyone would actually read it.
Well... Yeah. If you're going to play Mario 64, this is going to sound really weird, but I would really encourage you to try to track down an N64.
Oh, really?
Because the analog stick on the N64 is a lot tighter than it is on a modern console.
I just look at that controller and just
it's comfortable. It's shockingly comfortable.
Do you have metal fillings? Anyone listening out there in Radio Land, if you have metal fillings, what I want you to do is go get some tinfoil and put that in between your teeth and chomp down. The horrible pain that you are now feeling is what happens to me when I look at the N64 controller.
But have you ever used it?
No. Actually, that's... I have used it for Star Fox 64.
I have to mention real quick that I was just in my email, and in my spam filter, I had automatically sent an email from Super Monday Night Combat into it. Just got automatically put in spam, which makes sense.
Appropriate.
That game is bad.
What about since it just got patched, Metal Gear Solid 4?
That'd be a little rough for me because I've never played through a Metal Gear Solid game at all. Like, not even a single one.
We'll find something. We'll figure something out. We'll put together some options and maybe get some suggestions.
Like, it's mostly because I'm horrifically bad at Metal Gear Solid games. Like, I tried playing the first one, and I got to the point where you drop into What's-Her-Face's cell and died over and over and over and over again until I just uninstalled it.
Maybe this is a good time to start, because actually, the Metal Gear Solid 4 actually has way better controls.
Really, I actually could not get used to it because it was not Metal Gear Solid 3's controls, which everyone in the world hates but me.
You know, I basically beat myself into, like, liking Metal Gear Solid. Well, not liking, but accepting them.
I got too used to them, so now I can't play 4 well. I could probably get used to it eventually, but...
I think there's an option to, like, use the old Metal Gear style, is there? Right?
I know Peace Walker has that.
I thought so, but
yeah, I think there is something in options.
Maybe I should check that out. Because I did just pick up the game the other day. Because I figured GameStop is the kind of place that's going to raise the price based on a trophy patch. So I might as well get it now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, we could all suggest a game and then maybe have our viewers on the Facebook page vote on what we do next.
Yeah, and if you have any just straight up suggestions, let us know if there's a game that you think we should all play and talk about, or maybe is a game that you would like to see people talk about, or is deserving of more people playing it. Then let us know,
and share your own thoughts on these games, because you know we're just a bunch of idiots talking about video games. We would also like to hear your opinions as well.
Thanks for just lumping us in with you there, Mark.
Not a problem. We're just dudes bullshitting about video games.
Do we want to real quick talk about what we've been playing?
Yeah, has anyone been playing anything new or interesting?
I've been playing Sound Shapes.
Oh, yeah.
How is Sound Shapes?
It is a platform for user-generated content that is kind of cool, but really, really buggy.
Have you got to the back portion yet? How is the back
You get to the back portion within like an hour, because the game is very, very short. Because the single player is basically just, hey, here's what these guys made with our tools.
What is? Isn't it a game from Queasy? Yeah. John Queasy. John. No, not John. Is it just the guy that made Fuck! I can't remember the name of it.
I have no idea who they are, but I know it is Queasy.
PSN game. It's Queasy Games. It was like the shooter, music-based shooter.
Everyday shooter.
Nitro.
Everyday shooter. Okay. Thank you.
Everyday shooter.
Yeah. So, it's that, and I'm having a lot of fun making levels, but for whatever reason, these servers were down all this whole past weekend, and they just...
Now, what is it? What type
Jonathan
of game is
Mac.
This?
It is a 2D platformer where you play as a ball. And you basically just go through... All the items in the world make sounds, and all the notes that you can pick up that are basically coins, every time you pick one up, it adds a sound to the music. So basically, you're trying to make as much music as possible.
And the goal is...
Get all the notes and get to the end. That's basically it. It's not a very intensive
platformer. And in doing
platformer.
So... I mean, in doing so... It's pretty. It's like...
It looks nice and it sounds nice. And if the server weren't having issues, I would really suggest... If you have a Vita and a PS3, that's probably pretty useful. Because the actual transferring works pretty well. Except for the fact that it's all cloud sync. And when the servers are down, you can't do that.
Brilliant, brilliant job, Sony. Because that's who we should trust for our cloud syncing operations, is Sony.
My little pet theory is that they got the our commandment to make it a PS3 title as well fairly late, and they didn't have the server load to take care of that. So it's like 100% more people, well, way more than 100%, a bunch more people that they didn't anticipate were going to be playing this game.
Yeah. Well,
right, because if it was just Vita users, they would have sold like 12. Yeah. So
it's one of those buy one, get both dealies. So
which is good, which I think makes sense.
But they also charge for that. So it's like $15 and it probably should be like a $10 game.
Now, can you like give your PS3 version to someone else and you keep the Vita version?
Unless you do, what do you call it? The PSN trick where you sign on to your profile on somebody else's PS3.
Yeah.
But they've lowered the activation limit for that. So it used to be 5, now it's 2.
Right, they've messed with that some, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Anything else?
I rented 99 Nights 2.
I'm so sorry. Did you play the first one? You wouldn't have rented the second one.
It's actually not... It's not aggressively bad.
You rented a game?
I didn't rent it. I had a Blockbuster subscription for free. Oh, so okay. For the next 6 months, I'm just putting in whatever 360 game I can find.
That's cool.
So, like... You know how in Musou games I explained a couple of months ago that it's all about time management? Do I really have the time to go here and save this person, or et cetera, et cetera? This is like that, except bullshit.
Right.
Like, okay, for example, I was playing this before I started coming on here. Levels are about an hour, hour and a half each. There's maybe one or two checkpoints in them. So I was playing for about 45 minutes... And I died because I got stuck in a trap with, like, a boss monster and one of the guys who holds a skill, which means that you can't stagger them ever and they'll just keep attacking you. And I died and I got sent back to the beginning of the level. With
awesome.
None of the experience awesome. I've gained, none of the items, and none of the kill count. So
that's the worst possible thing.
Yeah. That game has... Apparently for 99 Nights 1, because I went back and actually... look this up. That game had no checkpoints, period.
You're right. It didn't. That was a slog because some of those levels were enormous. I remember sitting there because, you know, I bought a launch Windows 360 and like there were like for the first 4 months there were 3 games for that stupid thing. Like one of the worst launches in history. I'm sorry, but Project Gotham 3 was great. It wasn't enough. But yeah, like some of those levels like an hour long in that first game, and if you pulled out, you had no progress at all.
Yep,
like nothing to show for it.
And there's no like even Dynasty Warriors has interim saves. Like I need to go delete the save file when I come back. That's fine, but I can't just sit here and do this for the rest of the day. But not this game.
Or even something. Really, like you were grinding EXP. Like you kill a guy, you get in EXP, and you like pull out of the game, and you got to keep that. Okay, fine. Maybe it's the best progress in the world, but you made some progress and your afternoon isn't completely wasted. Yep. Not these games.
I think it wants me to grind way more than I actually am. Like, it wants me to go back to old levels, which fuck that, because there's no real reason to do that. Like, I don't want to go back and play through the same level again. You're already making me do this through multiple campaigns anyway. Because characters meet up and hang out, and I guess if one person's doing it, you have to go through it in somebody else's story as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so you wind up replaying like a lot of the same like maps, and a lot of the same campaigns and battles like 2 or 3 times, and you know they suck the first time and they don't get any better when you get through with a new guy with new mechanics.
Like my question about this game is why? Why was this made? Like it's not an awful game, but why was there a sequel to 99 Nights?
Yeah, because
my experience with 99 Nights, the first one is the demo. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I couldn't beat the demo, which always makes me feel like there's something wrong with this game, not me, if I can't beat the demo that's supposed to show me how to play the game. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand what killed me.
Yeah, that happens
a lot. At some point, there were a bunch of dudes running around, and I died. And I didn't even know that I was getting hit.
Like, the big thing about this game is that they're like, oh, all their AI is independent and separate, which, bullshit, for one. For two, when it is true, it stunlocks you. Like, there's enemies that will just surround you and just shoot you with things that knock you down repeatedly.
Can we get rid of stunlock in games, by the way? Because that is complete bullshit. You're taking away the... your ability to play the game.
I can't imagine it's intentional. Like, what developer would put that in intentionally?
I don't know, it's done so many times.
I don't think stun locking is intentional. It's just that stunning has been such a mainstay of video games that they don't know how to make games without it anymore.
They don't know how to make it an appropriate reaction to the hit.
Yeah.
And that they're not... And they don't test them very well, so they don't realize all the different combinations of like enemies that can be in the game. So it's very possible for like the right combination, right positioning, and you just can do nothing for like minutes at a time, and you just sit there helplessly That's the worst feeling in a video game. You have no control. You can't do anything. You know you're dying. And the instinct is to just turn off your system at that point.
Or at least put some time-based reaction to, I can hit this button and I can get out.
Yeah.
Or
make a revenge meme or something.
You could just do what they did in the 8-bit days and stun the player and then give them temporary invincibility.
Yeah.
Which, you know, think about it. Think about the only 8-bit game you can imagine where you can get stun locked, and it's like Castlevania.
And the point of that game was to be bullshit.
Yeah. But in Mega Man, you get hit and you have temporary invulnerability, I think.
For about 1.5 seconds.
It's just enough so that you don't get stun locked.
Of course, the trick in like those old 8-bit games as well was if you got hit, then there was a 90% chance that you got hit in a way that would force you into a
fucking
pit.
Ninja guy.
Well, that's true.
Those fucking Hawks.
Yeah.
That was the bane of my childhood.
No matter where you get hit, you're going to get hit into a pit and you're going to die. So it didn't matter about your invincibility. Fuck your invincibility.
Also, there are no saves. Yeah. Have fun restarting your entire game.
I game shark the shit out of Ninja Gaiden one day, and it was just purely out of spite. Like, yeah, fuck you, game. Who's king now?
I'll show Ninja Gaiden.
Could you even successfully game shark your way out of that? Because, okay, you give yourself infinite lives, you're still fighting against that thing for five damn hours trying to get past the same area.
I had a thing that gave you Ninpo infinitely.
Okay.
So it was basically that one thing where he just holds his hand up and the screen flashes. So I just go through the entire game and do that.
Nice.
Brilliant.
Let's see. I've also been playing Persona 4 Arena.
And how do you like
it? I like it well enough. It's an Arc Systems game, which means I don't understand it. But the whole reason I bought is because I want my TV to make Persona 4 sounds at me, and it's doing that well.
I have never played a Persona game, but I like the art style. So if that's a decent enough fighter, maybe I'd pick that up.
I would play Persona 4 first, because this game picks up immediately after that game. Well, about 2 months after. So if you try to get through it, it's just going to spoil the shit out of Persona 4.
I've never played any Persona game. I couldn't care less if I get spoiled.
I would say if you think you might play Persona 4, I would try that first.
As someone who doesn't play a lot of JRPGs anymore, Persona 4 was, and Persona 3 to a lesser extent, genuinely an enjoyable experience. I mean, it's very low pressure because everything is based on turns. You can screw up and you can screw up with your social link, but whatever. It's not there's any way you can screw up your game. But it's just very much the sort of thing where you just sit there for an hour, grind up a few guys. You don't even have to grind. Just do some social link stuff. Do a level in the dungeon.
It's probably a good game to play when you have your baby around, because there's not
really
a whole lot of intensive, I have to watch this sort of thing.
And plus you get some awesome smooth jazz to calm down your child.
That's true.
I've found out from the Gran Turismo 5 menus that is not soothing to my child, apparently.
Then your child will not like Persona 4.
How about you, Brian? Anything you've been playing?
Still going through Dead Space and enjoying that. I don't think they're too big spoilers, but I just did the part where you ride on top of the giant drill.
That drill gets revenge in Dead Space 3.
Oh, man. Dead Space drill revenge. And then, so I just entered the kind of the government area. Still playing that. I just got the advanced suit, which is pretty cool.
Terrific video game.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying. I enjoy the Dead Space franchise. I guess we'll see what happens with 3.
It's a shame that the entire development crew got caught in a horrible bus fire and will never make another video game ever.
Visceral is making Army of Two 3, and for some reason they're going all grimdark serious with it, which is I don't know how you can miss the point of a game that hard.
I hope there's a live-action trailer with sad music in the background for it.
Now, are they making the game, or is it some new studio that has the Visceral
name? It's Visceral Montreal, which has existed for a while. So, there was rumors before that they were making Dead Space 3, but I guess not, since they're making this game.
That is the greatest tragedy.
But so I'm playing that, and I started playing a bit of Insanely Twisted
Shadow Planet.
Thank you. Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. And then I also loaded up Unmechanical the other day, which I think I may have just put out a tweet saying this looks interesting with a trailer, and I didn't realize it was coming out so soon. But it's a 2.5D kind of puzzle-solving I don't want to say platformer because you're kind of hovering around as a little robot. You're like, just like a little cute little pod with little hands dangling around and a propeller on your head. It's fun so far. I kind of equate it to these other games I've played in the past, like Bob Came in Pieces, Nimbus. I want to say there was one more, but I can't remember. There's some puzzle solving. You get like a gravity beam to pick stuff up and move it around. I'm not very far into it, but first glance is it's really pretty. It's running on Unreal Engine, and it's fun. Looks like it's got a lot of charm.
We need to play Insane Lethal's Shadow Planet, like the Lantern Run together, because I know Jumpcast Greg, he wants to play that, and he's been asking me.
Jumpcast Greg.
Jumpcast's apostrophe S.
No. His name is just Jumpcast Greg.
Okay,
now.
I'll let him know.
But yeah, I know he's been mentioning that, so we should do that.
Yeah.
Maybe live stream our frustration. that's pretty much it. I've been playing Gasketball on my iPad, which is like a physics-based puzzle kind of solving with some user-generated content into it. So there's asynchronous multiplayer horse, basically, like the basketball game where you make a shot and the other person has to make a shot. So you get a random assortment of equipment, like, platforms to angle stuff, and you toss a basketball and it has to bounce around in a specific way and then end up in the basket. So highly recommended. If you're playing it, you should let me know and we should play some basketball. That's it.
All right, Matt, what have you been playing?
Nothing new this week, just a little bit more of Asura's Wrath. And Asura's Wrath is straight up anime. It is not so much of a game as it is a mildly interactive anime.
Yep.
And that's okay, though, because it's one of the better animes I've seen in a while.
It's really entertaining.
Yeah. I almost wish I could just watch it as an anime, because then I would marathon it as though I were watching something on Netflix.
Yeah. How long of an anime would that thing wind up, do you think?
The whole thing's about...
It seems like it's a season.
Yeah, it's about 12 hours, so maybe like 24 episodes.
Yeah, each level is pretty much an episode. It's about 20 minutes.
Like, it even has, like, anime eye catches. Like, it takes commercial breaks. Like, there's no actual commercial, but it comes back immediately. And, like, people restate things they just said. Like an anime.
Yeah. Now, Asura, let's see how well you do, Flash.
I'll show you how well I do.
And then it comes back. Now, Asura, let's see how well you do. And, like, the music swells and they
it
fight.
It gets very boss fight heavy towards the end, especially with the DLC. So it's more interactive there, but it still tells a really awesome story.
It's full of all sorts of bullshit Japanese metaphysics.
Yep.
Which is sweet. Actually kind of fun in this game instead of just bullshit.
Everyone's either a Shinto, Buddhist, or Hindu god, and also robots.
Yes.
Also robots.
They're inexplicably robots, and they never even bother explaining it. But, like, at one point, Asura's chest plate just opens. And, like, there's all sorts of wires and chips there. It's strange.
Interesting. Giant space Buddha.
I'm sure if you go to the TV Tropes page for that game, there'll be people trying to explain what has gone on.
There really should be a TV Tropes page for that game, because it more or less is a TV show.
Yep. I guarantee you that page exists.
I don't want to find out.
I'm not going into any spoilers, because first of all, I'm not that far into it. I've only gotten through the second of the seven deities.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mark?
Yes. You know, it's sort of bullshit.
Worth it.
Okay. Oh,
that's all I'm saying. I'm not gonna spoil anything. Just going to say worth it.
Gotcha. All right. I'm sorry. I said bullshit because I thought you were asking me what I'd played next.
No, go for it.
Okay, so it's sort of bullshit. This weekend, I thought I was going to like be able to play some just video games, because during the weekdays with my knee, it's mostly been spent with like physical therapy and like recovering from the physical therapy, which is me in bed like cursing the fate that has befallen me. So I thought like this weekend I'm not going to be bothered by the physical therapist. I can just play video games. I'm going to sit there and just veg out. And turns out, there was going to be a concert in front of my apartment on Saturday. And like I live in a studio apartment, so there's no walls. Like on one side is my desk with the window, and the other side is my bed. So, there's this horrible noise just it just let, let this if, Harling Tux explained to me it was some Conchera music, what I was listening to, because it's this Latina music, just accordions and guitars and just Spanish words that I don't know, and just like 5 hours of this.
What is this, a game you've been playing?
No, this is the horrible life I live.
Real lifestyle.
I chose to live in. Yeah, because I chose to live in New York City and like leave the country. If I was like in like Hickory, North Carolina right now, I could just be a horrible fat slob living in a trailer park playing video games all day long, and not be bothered by this sort of thing. No, no, I'm going to be a cosmopolitan human and go out into the city and be bothered by this bullshit. So I was hiding like in my bed trying like not be bothered. Sunday, the internet just decided it doesn't work. And like when most of your video games are on like Steam or Xbox Live or whatever, you're kind of fucked. So I played through some of Beyond Good and Evil. Didn't really, I guess I did that Sunday because I was able to actually play most of that. Played like 6 hours of that. Played like some Street Fighter 4 online. Getting lucky with that. So that's basically it. Nothing new. I did buy Iron Brigade today.
You mean Trenched?
So they came. Yes, I mean Trenched.
Right, that came out on Steam today.
It came out on Steam today. Seems pretty interesting. Got through like the fourth mission. Wasn't expecting it to be like a tower defense game, so it's kind of cool. Tower defense, like third person mecha shooter. So, and that's it. The story of my horrible life.
Is that game multiplayer only, or is it a?
No, it's got a fairly, looks like a fairly good single player campaign to it, but it's like, it looks like if there's co-op options, so I guess like if you play in co-op, maybe it's harder or something. I don't know.
I saw a lot of people enjoying that on the platform, so maybe I should pick that up. That's cool. All
right.
Well, it's episode 98. Game we've been playing. We'll try to make a post in the near future about the next Illiterate Book Club. And, of course, we're open to suggestions.
Yep, just comment or tweet us or email us.
Send a telegram.
Or Facebook.
Facebook yep. us.
We got all the things. They're all on NetroBit.com.
Did you ever change the Twitter background?
You probably already knew that. I changed it back.
It used to just be a GIF of the word games constantly rolling through.
Unfortunately, it wasn't animated. But I had to change it because whenever... Of course, I'm browsing the main Twitter feed. That's what I see. You see your own background, so that was just, I couldn't do it. I just could not do it.
Yep. Oh, well. We'll be back next week.
Sometime. We'll be back.
Probably with Wes, later, I y'all. Guess. Maybe.
Possibly, but we never know with that crazy kid. He's wrestling or something.
He's going to listen to this and be like, I'm going to wait till they mention me, and that's why we mentioned him at the end.
Yep. You just listened to the episode 98, the penultimate, onemoreuntilonemore.com.
See ya. Good night.
Later.
I think now we have to register that URL.